Head Start is a weekly podcast to help Liberty and Southside's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. This week, we will be launching a new sermon series, Immeasurably More. And so Pastor Tim is going to walk us through, as we step into this new sermon series, sort of an overview of what to expect in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Matt. We are kicking off the Immeasurably More capital campaign for our replant partnership with Southside. And so this is in conjunction with our commitment in May, as we voted by 94% to move forward with a replant partnership. And so a capital campaign is to provide the financial fuel for the partnership. Heartbeat of where I'm headed in the next 4 weeks in September. The focus will be one on generosity. And I was just thinking about that. The word generous literally means showing a readiness to give more. And so my prayer as we walk through these weeks in September is that this is a time for discipling our people to grow in this area of generosity. This is one of our values, generosity, not greed. This is kind of a part of the DNA of a Liberty anyway. But as a life group leader, you need to understand there are people at different levels of generosity sitting in your class. Some may not even be there. Some are there in a minimum way, and some are living joyfully in financial freedom to be able to respond to needs that God puts in front of them. And so as far as generosity goes, we need to understand God draws us to be generous. As we grow in Christ's likeness, I believe our heart grows more generous. Communicating to those in your life group that others benefit when we are obedient to the Lord and in a generous way, and to really press in that this is an area that gives us great joy as God's people respond in generosity the way that He has responded to us in a generous way. We are able to experience great joy being a part of what God is doing. And for me, there's no greater picture of generosity than John 3:16. And so always connect during this campaign, the heart of generosity comes from the heart of our Heavenly Father, who has lavished His love upon us through His Son, Jesus. And so there's no greater picture of what a generous heartbeat looks like than that of our Heavenly Father in John 3:16. Would encourage you, this would be a good month for you as a life group leader to share your testimony of giving to the Lord through His church, through your tithe and offering, and even perhaps how you're praying through and preparing above and beyond giving for a campaign. Remember, our goal is $1.8 million. $1 million for the replant, and then our renovation debt at Liberty to be eliminated, and then to build up our God Whispers budget category, which is a missional category that allows us to respond to mission opportunities we did not budget for. Do understand Commitment Sunday is September the 29th. And help us communicate. You'll hear this on Sunday, but I want you to communicate also in the life group that we're asking our congregation to do two things on the 29th. One, bring back their commitment card filled out, completed, and there will be a point in the service that we turn those in. And two, be prepared to make a first fruit offering, either a physical offering like check or cash in an envelope, or online offering on the 29th. And that first fruit offering comes from that 24-month commitment. Say, I'm going to commit $12,000 over 24 months, and say, I'm going to bring a first fruit offering of $2,000 on the 29th. My balance is $10,000. So over the next 24 months, I will be giving according to that $10,000 balance. And if y'all have questions, please let us know. And our text today in the life group material and the sermon is embracing the theme of the campaign, Immeasurably More, that comes right out of Ephesians 3:20. And so just know that my preaching time at Liberty over these next 4 weeks during the campaign is going to introduce the biblical text, bring it into context, and then make application. But I'm going to major heavy on communicating the application side of it in these messages. That's going to feel a little different in the worship time. So you and life groups may be able to lean heavier on the biblical context or talk through further the application. But that's where I'm headed. And I'm excited about these 4 weeks and excited that it's not just a pursuit of chasing money, but it's chasing a heart of generosity. And so we do want to grow our people to be generous as we learn that from our Heavenly Father.
That's good. Thank you so much for that overview as we look at this new sermon series. Before we step, and you've mentioned the passage already, but before we step into walking through the passage, we need to ask a really important...
It's an important conversation to have coming up.
It really is. Yeah. We need to step into this because these are things that people need, desire to know. So here's the question. It's we got to lay it out first. It's a busy Saturday.
Okay. Busy in the sense of watching college football pretty much all day long?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay, so it's a busy Saturday at home, and you need a quick lunch, right? There's no leftovers because you've already consumed all the leftovers, and it's down to a sandwich. We got to make a sandwich. So here's the question.
Sandwich.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What kind of sandwich are you making? And tell me about your chips that you're going to, that's this combo here, sandwich chip combo. Where are you going?
Oh, hopefully there is some Boar's Head deli meat in the refrigerator.
Yes.
So I'll go with the Cajun chicken.
Mm.
And rather than bread, I'm going to wrap it in one of the tortilla shells that we keep on hand.
Wow, I've never done that before.
And wrap that up. My chip is going to be just the plain tortilla chip, but I'm going to have some Poncho's white cheese dip.
Okay.
That I'm going to dip with it. So that's my go-to.
Are we putting condiments on this tortilla?
Oh, yeah.
Mayonnaise?
Put mustard? No mayonnaise, never.
Oh, wow.
Mustard, cheese,
wow.
Pickles.
Okay.
And might heat it up a little bit. Just depends on the mood.
Oh, stick it in the microwave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Melted cheese.
Yes.
So the controversy for Tim is no mayonnaise ever. But then he just blows past pickles like that's normal for everybody to put on their sandwich.
Dill pickles.
Yeah. Are the pickles on the sandwich or are they on the side to be consumed?
It might be both.
Okay.
So, on the sandwich and on the side. See, I eat pickles with every meal, even my Italian meals.
Okay.
Wow. I have a dill pickle.
Yeah.
Good gracious.
Okay.
No mayonnaise.
Hot sauce to boot, too. Yeah. Hot sauce and pickles, they go with everything.
Well, there you go. All right, Brian, let's hear this.
I'm probably pretty similar. The Boar's Head comment. So turkey or ham, roast beef is probably the favorite.
Oh, wow.
Roast beef and... Yeah, we're going to do mayonnaise and mustard. We'll do lettuce. No tomato ever, right?
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
probably just on, we're kind of lame, but just honey wheat, bread, Nature's Valley or whoever the brand is. The orange bag, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
All right. I'm going to do Fritos on the side. Like some
plain original,
just plain original Fritos, yeah. Wow. Okay. And this is all like, I mean that hits at a decent level, but man, if there's Publix sweet tea in the refrigerator to pair it with,
ooh,
I'm a happy camper.
Off.
Yeah, okay. I guess I forgot to say like you got to put pepper jack cheese on the sandwich too.
I'm a fan.
I like pepper jack.
It's good.
Maybe pepper jack and cheddar together.
I'm good with
more cheese. More
I'll it up.
Stack the cheese. Yep.
Well, after those two fancy meals, this is going to... I'm about to crater this.
PB&J.
Mayonnaise.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich is probably what I'm going with.
Do we peanut butter on one slice and jelly on the other?
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And then probably just... Fritos is a good one. Mm. Just plain Fritos or just the plain Lay's potato chips.
The yellow bag?
Again, yeah.
For real?
And yeah, if kinda I lame. Get crazy, I may actually put the chips on the sandwich.
That is crazy right there.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot Sun Chips existed for a minute, by the way. So I'd be in for
really,
those.
Really good. So really, I'm just a six-year-old boy. Pretty much what that lunch looks like.
Good. What about you, Matt?
I'm going to use the same bread that you, the honey wheat. And if I get my choice, we're going to go ham and turkey.
Sure.
Both of them together with the pepper jack cheese, for sure. That's really so. But it, and I'm also going to have some pickles, but they'll be on the side.
Pickles on the side.
Yeah, but not the deal. There's this sort of sweet pickles. I'm not sure what Wickles pickles.
Wickles.
Yes. Got a little kick to those. Yeah.
They got a little Red kick to it. It was a surprise.
And the kick to those pickles, they don't come instantaneously. It's like
a slow burn.
Yes, it comes
building heat
a little late. So, and then it depends. So the chip is really important. Like spicy Doritos, those are really good. That's a fan favorite. The Mrs. Vick's kettle chips, right?
Yeah. Yep. Sure.
Barbecue is one of my favorites. I will go to, if it's an option, I'm going to do the jalapeno pepper Mrs. Vick's kettle chips. They're really good. Yeah. So that's where I'm going. And just I'm super simple. Water. Ice water. Oh. That's where I'll go with there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that.
Wow. I feel enlightened.
Inquiring minds want
to
know.
So ready to talk about the Bible now.
Said no one there. Okay.
Lean into that immeasurably more. It's lunchtime.
All right. So our passage for the week is that'll be preached is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Leaders, you'll notice as you look at your material, the material covers verses 14 to 21. But just know in the message, we'll be sitting in those two, 20 and 21. So Tim, walk us through the passage as we prepare to lead.
Thank you, Matt. Hopefully, Ephesians is going to feel familiar to you as a life group leader. We have been there twice in the last series as we talked about what your thoughts about the church and about winning in life from Ephesians. So this one is going to back up a chapter and go to chapter 3. And again, your materials 14 through 21. We're going to really focus, and I will, in the sermon on the last two verses, verses 20 and 21. But just seeing the big picture as you jump into this paragraph, Paul is showing us what it's like to pray in view of God's greatness and our need. And you're going to hear him being magnified and that immeasurably more coming out through who he is and what he is able to do. And then our need. And do remember that this section is a transitional section in the book. The first three chapters are about basically who we are in Christ, or Paul leans in heavy on doctrine. Truth. And then the last three chapters are about how we are to live differently because of who we are in Christ. And so understanding both is important to just get the layout of the book of Ephesians, but sandwiched right in the middle of this is who we are in Christ and this is how we are to live our life is this powerful prayer, intercessory prayer, from Paul for these believers, and it's really a prayer for God's enablement or God's power to be at work or for God's immeasurably more to be true in their life. One way believers live differently today is experiencing God's immeasurably more at work in our lives. Again, we're going to be introducing the Immeasurably More capital campaign. We're going to focus a lot on generosity and that heart of generosity, but that heart is fueled by love, and we learn that kind of love, that generous love from a Heavenly Father who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And the reality is the more we experience as a child of God, God's immeasurably more in us, the more we will be part of God's immeasurably more through us for greater kingdom impact and for His glory. And so Paul is really lifting up these believers, praying that they will experience that immeasurably more. And because of that, then God will be glorified in and through them as they live out that immeasurably more generosity in their life. As Paul prayed for these believers, he prayed with a confident assurance of who his Father was and what he was able to do and would be able to do in their life. He's praying specifically for God's power to be at work within them and for them to know by experience God's love in them and hopefully being shown through them. And so he just begins for this reason, and just know that's like a therefore. It goes back and connects really all of chapter 2 of who they are in Christ, what God has done, that he makes them spiritually alive. They are his workmanship. They're no longer strangers or aliens, but now they're fellow citizens with the saints, and they are God's household. They're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, and they're being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And so this is Jew and Gentile, that they have, once they came in Christ, they were born into a new family and a new community, and they have a unity in Christ. And Paul says, I bow my knees. It's an easy giveaway that this is a prayer. He's not promoting a posture of prayer, but he was just probably indicating a heart of submission, a humility, a gratitude, maybe a passion as he prayed for every family in heaven and on earth, the saints of every age, according to the riches of his glory. Now, this taps into that immeasurably more. For God to give according to the riches of his glory is staggering, because he is limitless. He is complete without any boundaries. His supply never runs out. And I don't know any way to describe immeasurably more better than according to God's riches, riches of his glory. Paul prays for power. He prays for love, that they would be strengthened with power in their inner being. That word for power is dunamis. It's a word in Acts 1:8, and after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. It's also the word we get our English word dynamite from. So Paul is praying for this bold, explosive power to strengthen them, to be infused into their life, into their inner man, and that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. That word dwell is really interesting that he uses. He uses a strong word. He's talking about more than just Christ dwelling in our hearts. Really, he's talking about the rule and the reign, or we might even say the lordship of Jesus in our hearts, that our hearts are being conformed into knowing truth and embracing truth and becoming more like Christ, that he feels right at home in our heart that has been changed by the power of the gospel. He prays that they're grounded, they'll be rooted and firmly established in love, from power to love. And, you know, it's an agricultural term he used, that you're rooted, that your roots grow deep. Many times we say folks are well-rooted, or they're well-grounded. And then he used the architectural term established, really a firm foundation, that you will be well-rooted and firmly founded in Christ's love, in the love of God, and that you will be able to comprehend, to know, really to know by experience, that immeasurably more kind of love that we have in God, to comprehend that love, to know Christ's love in verse 19. And then he comes around the corner and he says, but this love surpasses all knowledge. And he is really wanting us to grow in that understanding of the love of God, and to grow in how we experience the love of God as we grow closer to him. Verse 19, filled with all the fullness of God, Paul concludes his prayer with that phrase, that really he's praying that they become complete in Christ, that they are spiritually mature, experiencing all that God has in store for them. Then we come to the last two verses, the what? Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. This is the key verse for our campaign theme. And see the direction here that he says, God is the one who is able, and he is able to do above, but that's not all. He's able to do above and beyond, but that's not all. He's able to do above and beyond all that we ask, but that's not all. He's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think or imagine. And so God is able to do far above, exceedingly above. And I love the chasing different translations here. The CSB, above and beyond. The ESV, far more abundantly than all. The New King James Version, exceedingly abundantly above all. So just beautiful images of just God's ability to far exceed anything we can even think of asking or we can imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. It's been said God can do more in response to one prayer than we can do in 100 years of planning and plotting, of strategizing. And so as we go into this campaign, please lean in and encourage your life group members. This is a matter of great prayer. And it's a prayer that we need to look to our Heavenly Father, the God who is able to do that immeasurably more in us and through us. And here's the reality. If God doesn't work in us and through us in that immeasurably more way, it's not going to happen. But God has always chosen to work through his people, just ordinary people with average resources, to accomplish greater things for kingdom impact. And that's the joy, that's the opportunity that we have, is to experience God doing immeasurable more in us and for us to make a sacrificial commitment through generosity financially and see all the pieces of the body come together and see that God is able to do that immeasurably more as we work together. The how is really important, according to the power that works in us, according to his power that is at work within us. And that's going to be the secret of the campaign. It's not about how well we phrase what we say or the motto or theme of immeasurably more. It's not about graphics. It's not about strategy. It's not about all of that. It's going to be about God stirring the hearts of his people, moving us toward a vision for greater gospel impact in Shelby County that drives us to desire not to miss out, but to be a part of that and embrace the joy of generosity that we can expand the gospel light in a county that is a majority of it lost and unchurched. And so to be a part of that greater gospel impact. And the purpose, the why behind the what, is to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so this is going to roll it out, hopefully in a positive light, that we need God to do what only God can do through his people. And we want him to get the glory. And so we believe God led us here with an opportunity to partner. And we believe that anywhere God leads his people, he is able to provide through his people the resources needed. So we're going to trust him and pray for that immeasurably more to happen in us and through us during this month.
Well, and that trust is something that we've had to do this whole entire process. It's what led us to this point. It's what's going to have to be at the forefront of our hearts going forward. And that really is in line with the measure this week. The measure's moment is remembering that we are a child who knows God. And a child typically trusts that his parent, his dad, can do pretty much anything. And so as a child of God, we can, it says we can trust our Heavenly Father that He really can do anything, that He has no limitations, and that the closer that we draw to Him, the more that we'll be able to understand all that He can do. And so this really will be an opportunity for us to live out that measure of being that child who knows God.
Great stuff. A couple of questions that I think are worth highlighting, and there's a bunch of them that are good that will be powerful for your group as y'all discuss this go around. But I do want to highlight two. The first one's on page 5 of the curriculum that we've got here. And it's this: how can you ground your prayers in the purpose and will of God so that they are more powerful and effective? Tim highlighted the importance of prayer through this series, through this movement, through this 2-year campaign. And I want to see all of us challenge one another to remember that this is not ultimately about what we can do. Like, that's the whole emphasis of titling it Immeasurably More, is that if it's just us, the job is not going to get done. We need God to work in and through us. One of the things that I've shared with the folks at Southside a couple of times is that quote, that when we work, we work. When we pray, God works, right? And I think it's important that certainly we do both. He's called us to action. But all that goes to say, you know, you think of John 15 and Jesus calling His disciples to abide. He says, if you abide in Me and in My words, and My words abide in you, ask whatever you want and you will receive it, which is crazier. It will be done for you. But man, that's that union where we're so tied to the Lord and His desire for us and for our mission and work, that our desires are His desires and His desires are our desires, so that when we pray, we can know there's power behind it. I think the other question that I wanted to highlight is on page 7, right at the beginning of the discussion on verses 20 and 21. When have you experienced the truth that God can exceed even your greatest thoughts or expectations? Give this one time and maybe come in ready with an example of when you personally have seen it. This is that one of those opportunities to stir the imagination of the people that are sitting in your group, which is so important. That's how we get inspired to think about a different future than the reality that we presently experience. And that's critical. It's easy to get bogged down in the nuts and bolts and dollars and cents of a capital campaign. That's not ultimately what we want to do over the next 2 years. We want to see God move in ways that we look back on 10 years from now, that other people look back on 50 years from now, that maybe even still people are looking back on 100 years from now and saying, man, they saw God do something big in their midst. And so get your people to start dreaming and start imagining and thinking how they've experienced what God has done in the past to blow their expectations, and maybe what He could do again in this present moment to blow their expectations.
That's good. And as far as this week, when it comes to the Live It Out, we've got one that is really outward focused, and the other is preparing our hearts. And so the first one is, who do you know that needs to hear about the power of God? Sometimes just the blessing of having a brother or sister in Christ remind you that God is able can be very, very beneficial and helpful. And it's also a blessing to be that brother or sister in Christ who is coming alongside someone in a hard situation or in a time of need, and to remind them that God is able. And so it's an opportunity for you to purposefully think through someone that may need to hear about God's immeasurably more power. And then number two, in line with the campaign, begin to pray specifically for God to do immeasurably more through the generosity of His people. Again, I think the reoccurring theme here is that we are asking God to be at work in and through His people. And so this is that real actionable step there to you get in the game of praying specifically for God to do that.
It's good. So thank you so much, fellows, for walking us through the content as we prepare to lead on this coming Sunday. A couple of things that I want to be sure to keep in front of you leaders as you communicate with your group. Some reminders. We have a men's breakfast. That'll be on Saturday, September the 7th at 8 a.m. We'll meet in the East Venue, and there'll be some more information coming out about that soon. But just want to get that in front of you, just a reminder to encourage the fellows to come and be a part of that time together. Also, again, as we're looking at this new sermon series, we want to be guilty of urging, of nudging, prodding, poking, encouraging our people to be present as we walk through, as we step into this new sermon series, and as we step into this new challenge as a congregation, as we look to have greater impact, not only elsewhere in Southside, but also in our own community, to have that impact. So encourage your folks to be present and be a part of this new sermon series. And then finally, we have a family cookout. That's going to be on Wednesday, September the 11th from 5 until 7:30. It's a great time of fun and food. There might even be some fellowshipping going on, you know. So bring the kids, bring everybody. We're going to feed you good, and it'll be a great time together, 5:30 until 7:30 at the community center right across the street from the church. So looking forward to that. We are also looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. So look forward to that. See you then.